The government is in the biggest drive to promote STEM since the Sputnik era. STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. The country needs more students to become interested in these vital fields. Well, now the Education Department and NASA have teamed up in a novel approach to attract students to STEM. Kamsie McAdams is the Deputy Director of the STEM Office at Education, and she joins us now. Kamsie, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
All right. So tell us how you're hoping to bring more students. First of all, what age students are we talking about here, and how are you going to get them into the STEM orbit?
Well, a lot of people, a lot of research shows that students make up their mind sort of about whether they like math, science, technology, engineering, somewhere between fifth and eighth grade. So the effort that we put together with the Department of Energy, NASA, and a lot of other, about 15 other federal agencies, was targeting middle school girls from grades fourth or fifth through eighth grade to pair them up with federal female STEM professionals. And our idea was that if you expose girls to a variety of different career options with people that look like them and who have, you know, talent and excitement, and who are doing really great things for our country, that we might be able to inspire some of these girls to take a second look at STEM.
So tell us about the federal STEM professionals that you assembled from all over government. First of all, how did you identify them? Where are they? What are they doing?
Well, I serve as the department's representative to the Council on Women and Girls for their the STEM Education Working Group. So the first thing I did was bring it up at our meetings that we have about every other month, and I said, hey, look, we'd like to do this. The Department of Energy, Anne Marie Horowitz at the Department of Energy, and I came up with this idea. And so we reached out with them, and we said, look, don't just bring like a project director who manages grants. Bring somebody who's actually doing science or engineering in the field, measuring something, building something, doing something really creative. We also reached out through the Committee on STEM Education, which I also lead up the K-12 efforts for that group. And we had an overwhelming response from everyone from people at DOD who work on biomedical warfare to people at the NOAA fisheries who do fish population estimation. It was a fantastic turnout.
You also have a lady at NOAA who's in charge of all the satellite programs, too. She's a big STEM person.
Yeah.
All right. So how did it all work?
So we reached out to local schools. So I used to be the STEM director for DC Public Schools. So I sent emails to all the middle school and K through 8 principals. So we got a lot of signups through that. We reached out through the charter networks. We reached out through just sort of the local, science coordinators and math coordinators at the local districts. And we had about 50 people show up between teachers and students. And we asked each teacher to bring two girls with them. And this is modeled after a program that takes place. It's been taking place for years now out in Oakland, California, where I started my teaching career 16 years ago, called Dinner with a Scientist. And theirs is a little bit more formal than ours. They actually get it catered and get, you know, really fun, sponsored gifts for the kids and the teachers. And we had grab bags from NASA filled with curricular materials for the teachers and some, you know, stickers and bookmarks and things like that for the kids. But it was a really easy way to just invite some people from the local community to come in and meet with some of the people here who are really passionate about what they do.
We're speaking with Kamsie McAdams. She is Deputy Director in the Office of STEM, Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math at the Education Department. Is there something unique about the experience of being a female STEM professional in the federal government? Because, in fact, it is a woman, you are a woman, and you are in the federal government?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting thing. They did the White House hosted a women in STEM sort of networking event in the South Court Auditorium a few, like maybe 3 or 4 weeks prior to this event. And they invited the Secretary of the Air Force, the head of EPA, the head of NSF, and the head of NOAA, all of whom are really dynamic, women with amazing career trajectories. The thing that I missed at that event was the way that we did it, which was we did this sort of speed dating style so that the girls could meet more of the professionals. And I was kind of hoping for that at the event at the White House. So maybe next time they do it, they'll take my advice and try to build in more time for interaction.
And what do you say to someone that might have a million interests or scattered interests or just simply immature interests to help them understand how important, say, mathematics really is and how much fun it can be?
Well, there's a lot of groups out there in the nonprofit space who've done a lot of work on how to message this to girls effectively. One of the best is the Society of Women Engineers. So they have an entire website all about how to message engineering to be attractive to young women. And a lot of it takes place in subtle changes in the way that we talk about STEM, that you don't say, oh, you have to be really good at math and science and it's such a challenge. You instead say, wow, you get to solve really big problems and you get to work on a team and be really creative. And when girls especially hear that, they resonate with that. And we gave that message to the mentors coming in so that when they did their speed dating interaction with these girls, you know, rotating from table to table every 10 minutes, they really talked about with a lot of passion and intensity about their work and how it helps people and how it makes a difference.
And how will you ensure that this is not sort of a one-time thing? I mean, obviously, this is probably a fun event, but now the students are going back to their own worlds. All these people are going back to their own agencies, business as usual. And there's so much else to do before these kids become STEM professionals themselves.
Right. So what we asked each of the federal female scientists and engineers to do was to commit to 20 hours over the course of the next year, which I participate in a monthly lunch bunch out in Virginia, and I met these young people through the USA Science and Engineering Festival, and I asked for the teacher to just bring a group of girls together to just, you know, have pizza or whatever, and we turned it into sort of a more regular thing. And what I suggested to the women, I said, you know, make sure that you reach out to these teachers, even if you come and have coffee with the teachers once a month. It will make a big difference because they can incorporate lessons from sort of the real world into what they're teaching every day. So we asked for that commitment, but then we also shared the contact information for all of the teachers with the scientists and for all of the scientists with the teachers. And we told them that we would be following up with them at the beginning of the school year in September to remind them of each other's connections and to give some suggestions for some activities that they could do together, and gave some toolkits to the mentors in terms of ways to talk to kids. We had a really fantastic woman from the census who came through and mapped all of the, gave us the mapping location for all of the schools and gave the closest metro stop to make it be real easy for folks. And she was one of the volunteers. And so I think that part of it is this idea of an ongoing committed relationship, because that's actually how you make a difference in a child's life, is to become a part of their life in a more meaningful way than just a one-time drive-by event.
And I was just thinking of the federal contractors that just come to the top of my head in the technology area that have female CEOs. I came up with General Dynamics, Hewlett-Packard, Lockheed, IBM, Xerox. And I guess you can throw in General Motors, since there's fleets of cars that are purchased for the government. I imagine that must be a good source of bringing in to young women and girls the idea of the importance of STEM.
Absolutely. So there's another sort of effort out there to bring mentors. So there's two really big ones. One is called the Million Women Mentors, and another one is called US 2020, both of which I've worked with extensively. And what we thought this STEM Mentoring Cafe was sort of a catalyst. It's sort of a kickoff event, right? So if a group like General Motors or General Dynamics decides to say, hey, we have 1,000 employees, we're going to say, you know, 50 of them are going to be involved in regular mentoring. The idea of bringing everybody together for these, like, sort of short speed dating style interactions just kicks things off, and it breaks down sort of some of the nervousness for the girls, especially to ask questions, and gets the teachers to see which engineers and STEM professionals might be good in the classroom and which ones might be a better resource just for them as teachers, because it's not everybody that can walk into a middle school classroom and be really engaging. So I think that we are reaching out to our friends in the private sector as well. The reason why we concentrated on federal female professionals is because the Office of Personnel Management did issue a directive in a memo a couple of years ago saying that not only do they encourage the use of federally employed STEM professionals to, you know, interact with students and teachers, but they actually have also given leeway for directors, if they feel the need to allow for admin leave for that. So it varies agency to agency, but I know that some agencies are more committed to this than others, and some have made this from, like, you know, all the way from the director. I know that Charlie Bolden over at NASA sent out a thing saying, you know, he's going to allow his employees to be able to take time from work during a regular schedule, because that's when school usually happens. So I think it's really important to think about the federal context. I think that the stat is that we employ around 200,000 federally employed STEM professionals, and that's a huge number of people to send out into our 15,000, you know, school districts across the country.
And with the women STEM professionals who participated, I imagine that some of them might still be working in offices where they are one of very few women, and they might not have had female role models in this field when they were growing up. Have you polled them or gotten any sort of feedback from them about this event and why they're participating?
You know, what one of the best things was is that we had a couple of junior researchers come up to me afterwards and said, can you, when you send out the contact information, can you send me the contact information of all the other STEM professionals? Because I'd like to network with them. And what they asked for was, in fact, that they would really enjoy having an event for them to get to know each other. So I think that it's sometimes a very isolating place. You know, my major was in undergraduate was engineering, and I fell into education through a sort of circuitous path, but I'm very used to being one of only a few women at the table or a few women in the scene, and it's very, very important to be able to network together and share similar ideas and experiences, and I think that that was sort of a side benefit. I hadn't really thought about that, but a couple of the younger women said, hey, this was really great. And one of them even said, I finally understand their science, because they were explaining it to an eighth grader. And when you go to these networking events, there's often a lot of pretense and sort of like you need to sound really sophisticated and smart. And if you're in a different field entirely, you might not understand what that's all about. And they said it was so great and so refreshing, because now I understand exactly what they're doing at NOAA or the Department of Defense, because they were explaining it to an eighth grader.
All right. So that if they want to build a bridge to the future, they'll know what size I-beams are required.
Exactly.
All right. Kamsie McAdams is the Deputy Director of the STEM Office at the Education Department. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.